I never hear anyone else talk about these things, but it always strikes me how the Easter season falls into three sections, and we have just started today. We start the second section, because the first section is the Easter octave, and that concluded yesterday with the Feast of Divine Mercy. So the octave Feast of Easter, Feast of Divine Mercy, concludes the first section of Easter. Now we're in the second part of the Easter season, which goes from today, or from last night up until the Ascension of the Lord. Then the third section, Ascension up until Pentecost. Maybe it doesn't seem important to others, but it does help us understand how life, the risen life, grew in the church, and how dependent we are on the work of the Holy Spirit. The Easter season can also be called the Pentecost season. We have seen references to Pentecost many times already, even last week, even on Easter Day. Jesus speaks about the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, yesterday was the Feast of Divine Mercy, and I suppose what most people focused on was Jesus' extraordinary things that he said when he first appeared to his apostles, and then the special case of Thomas. Thomas, who received a personal visitation from the risen Lord. And I focus on those things too, but one of the things that stood out for me yesterday was the collect of the Mass. So I want to refer to that once again. Now, ang aking misa kahapon sa Tagalog at siguro hindi malinaw ang aking explanation ng paralangin pambungad. But even in English, it's rather dense, this collect or opening prayer. Let me read it to you again, because I don't think it will stand out right away, but once I explain it, you'll see why I think it's very, very powerful. So we pray in the opening prayer, we always pray to the Father, God of everlasting mercy, Feast of Divine Mercy, who in the very recurrence of the Paschal Feast, kindle the faith of the people you have made your own. Increase, we pray, the grace you have bestowed, that all may grasp and rightly understand in what font they have been washed, in by whose spirit they have been reborn, by whose blood they have been redeemed. Okay, that's a lot. But the three things that stand out are the font where we have been washed, reference to baptism clearly, the spirit by whose spirit we have been reborn, that's a mention of the Holy Spirit, of course, and then by whose blood we have been redeemed. So, the blood of Christ, the water, the spirit, the blood, you can see how the image of the divine mercy with the rays of white and red light signifying the blood and water coming from the heart of Jesus are all referred to here in this prayer. So the water of baptism, the Holy Spirit by which we are reborn, and the blood by which we are redeemed. Also a reference to the Eucharist, of course, blood of Christ. Well, this came back to my mind when I read today's Gospel, because this is what Jesus starts to speak to Nicodemus about in the very early stage of his public ministry. About baptism, about redemption, about the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus doesn't mention his blood yet, but you can see he's giving a very profound instruction to Nicodemus. In fact, it's way over Nicodemus's head. So it's as though Jesus is planting seeds, not only in Nicodemus, but in everyone who hears this account of Nicodemus's conversation with Jesus. Now, we encountered Nicodemus in Holy Week, because he was one of the last people to see the body of Jesus when it was brought into the tomb. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, right, buried Jesus. So he was a witness of the death of Jesus. Here he is at the very beginning of the public life of Jesus. Nicodemus, he's a Pharisee, he's one of the leading Pharisees, but he has a honest search for God, and he sees in Jesus something that comes from God. We know that you must come from God, because no one can do what you're doing unless you come from God. So it's a search. And he goes to Jesus by night. Why by night? Is it because he's afraid? Perhaps. Is it because he wants to be secretive? Perhaps. Or is it simply because he couldn't approach Jesus during the daytime because there were so many people around? I don't know. But it's a personal one-on-one encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus. And Nicodemus says, okay, we know you're from God. And Jesus immediately raises the conversation to a much higher level and says, well, unless one is born from above, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You're telling me that I'm from God. You have to be born from above to even see it. Nicodemus misunderstands it, of course. What does it mean to be born? Because it's an ambiguity in the Greek word. Born from above and born again, two translations of the same term. So Jesus said born from above. Nicodemus heard born again, meaning you have to come out of the womb again. And he says that doesn't make any sense. But Jesus reiterates it and says not only born from above, but born by water and the Spirit. Water and the Spirit. This is the verse of the Bible that gives us the awareness that baptism is a necessity for salvation, because Jesus said it. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And then he goes on to speak more about what it is to be born of the Spirit and to live according to the Spirit. It's like the wind. You don't know where it comes from or where it goes, because it's not based on a natural motivation. It comes from God. So people who are living according to the Spirit will be confusing and frustrating to people who live only on a natural level. But people who are living according to the Spirit can recognize the difference between the natural level and the supernatural level. Well, this takes us to the first reading, where the apostles, Peter and John, and now everybody who's gathered with them, are rejoicing to be led by the Holy Spirit. This is a continuation from last week. The story of Nicodemus is not. I mean, we're going back to the beginning of John's Gospel. But in the Acts of the Apostles, we're going to be reading from this book, Acts of the Apostles, for the rest of the Easter season. And so we know that Peter and John were arrested because they were proclaiming the resurrection because of the crippled man who was healed by Peter. And so they were arrested and they were told, don't talk about that name. Don't talk about that name. And they said, well, what else can we do? It's impossible not to speak about this. And then the chief priests, they let them go. They didn't know what to do with them. Couldn't keep them. And the people were in their favor, so they just let them go. And Peter and John probably didn't expect that. They probably expected to be imprisoned, or maybe even killed, because that's what happened to Jesus. But they were boldly proclaiming the gospel anyway, because they were living according to the Spirit. That's why this is a good example of what Jesus mentions to Nicodemus. It's a completely different way of life to be born from above, to be born of water and the Spirit, to live according to the Spirit, it's very different than living according to natural motives. The natural man, if we were Peter and John on a natural level, we wouldn't say anything because it's too risky. Well, we see that's what they were doing before the Holy Spirit came. They were hiding, they were behind locked doors, they were not proclaiming, and they were not revealing what they had seen and heard. But once they were filled with the Holy Spirit, everything changed. Now it's a time to make this known. No matter what anyone thinks about it, no matter what risk it might have to face. So they're released, and they go back to their people, it says. And everyone says, well, what happened here? God intervened. God overcame the powerful people in order to make known his kingdom, spread of his kingdom. And they immediately think of Psalm number 2, where it says that the Gentiles and the peoples, the kings and the princes, the kings meaning the Gentile kings, like that's a reference to Pontius Pilate, and then the princes, meaning the chief priests, Herod, and the scribes and the Sanhedrin and all this conspiring against the Lord and his anointed, the anointed being Jesus. So they're reading this Psalm number 2 as a prophecy of exactly what happened. Yes, all the powers of the world, both Gentiles and Israelites, conspired against the anointed, Jesus, and tried to throw off the authority of the Lord. And they failed. Let us break their fetters, let us cast bonds, their bonds from us, says in the psalm. That's the attitude of the world all the time, to this day. World leaders and worldly people, even worldly people in churches saying, let's do it our way. Let's not be bound by this idea that God has a plan for us. We have to take care of ourselves here. And this is what leads to wars, by the way, this terrible war in the Middle East, is not from God. It's not the will of God. It's the will of man. It's a it's based on natural motives. But life according to the Spirit is different, and it makes it possible for God to reign. That's why the Christians here, Peter, John, and everybody with them, they're rejoicing to see how God, by the power of his Spirit, makes it possible for these uneducated, ordinary men to be victorious over the powers of the world. So this is another case, another example of life according to the Spirit, and it's an instruction for us. On what basis are we doing what we do? Are we living according to the flesh, or are we living according to the Spirit? Jesus says, what is born of flesh is flesh. What do you expect? What is born of spirit is spirit. We don't know what to expect when we're following the Spirit. We have to let God be in charge. And that's what we're being invited to do as we enter into this second stage of the Easter season, to live according to the Spirit. And we'll have instructions on how to do this for the rest of the Easter season.